with each one of us, and you know which way each one of us need to be maybe pushed along on and to pick up a point on. Help us. We're asking, Lord, for your help. In your name, your precious word.
He said in my voice that all across the United States, you realize that we're represented from Montana to Connecticut on the north side, and on the south side, from Arizona to South Carolina. That's covered with the flood of the United States.
Connecticut.
They're up east. That's why I said Montana to Connecticut.
Oh, just here.
Right, you ready to go?
Sure. Sorry.
But it is good to have everybody here. And all the folks in South Carolina, Chip and Mom and Dad and my kids, and especially Carly, she wanted to come.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Yeah. And we almost brought Carly with us, but we figured it would start a war, so we didn't. But they all say hi, and certainly appreciate the prayers of everybody from my mom. Continue to keep us in your prayers, if you would. And pray that the Lord's will would be done in the situation, as we always do. Because that's what's going to happen anyway. The Lord's will is going to be done. But I still think we can sway His will with our prayer, else there would be no need to pray, right? I mean, if it's all already settled, why bother? I think we can sway His will, just as Abraham did.
Right.
I think it was in the Old Testament. I also want to remind you about the website. If you don't catch a study or miss a study or want to hear some studies, you can now go to CarolinaBibleGroup.com. Chip has sort of taken that, and he's moved it to a new site. We've got a new motif and a new layout. And it seems to work a little better for some, maybe not so good for others. But go and check that out. I think I was talking to Robin maybe last night. Or was it Donna? It was Donna. Yeah, she's having some trouble with a Kindle Fire. Maybe a format issue or something. But if you ever need anything in regard to that, though, you know, drop me an email or something and let me know. We'll try to get it resolved. But if you want to catch studies, we'll have these studies posted on there probably sometime this week. If you want to go back and catch studies, you can do that. There are plenty of archived studies of Oscars on there and what have you. So feel free to go in there and plunder around. And also a reminder about Pow Talk. If you don't join us on Pow Talk, we'd love to have you. And we do that three times a week, Sunday morning, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday evening. So, you know, if you don't join us on Pow Talk, you're missing a blessing, because we got pretty much the same speakers that you see here. But we go just about a 45-minute session three times a week. And we typically get into subject studies. Like, for instance, right now I'm doing the book of John. And we're just taking it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And that forum gives you a good place to do that type of study, I think, where you can do a continuation study. And we post them on the website, that way you can go back and listen to them. So remember that, too. Before we get started, though, we'd like to open with prayer. So bow with me, if you would. Father, we thank you for this day and these that have come this way. God, for this opportunity, for the hearts and the minds of those that are here. Father, we pray now that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Father, and hearts to believe and understand the things that your word has for us. And God, thank you for this word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift that he gave of his own blood for our redemption. Father, that we may have our hope in the heavenly places as part of his body. Be with us. Lead God and bless us now as we go into this study. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. We're not going to start where the theme is today, but we're going to work our way to the theme. And I think this is probably, at least in my mind, when I began to look at it and I saw what the theme was, in my mind, this seemed to be the best way to handle it. So I'm hoping that maybe some of you are as crazy as I am, and maybe this makes a little sense, so that by the time you get to Colossians 2, 1, 2, and 3, that you can understand it in a light that the Holy Spirit would show you. But this is how the Spirit showed it to me, and I want to share that with you this morning. To understand, I believe, Colossians 2, 1, 2, and 3, there's a lot Paul says before that, and I know it's only one chapter, and it's only 29 verses. It's only one chapter and 29 verses, but Paul, trust me, says a lot in those first 29 verses of the book of Colossians. A lot. And what I would like to do is, as a way of introduction, to kind of get your appetites wet for all the other speakers that are going to come up here and talk about Colossians 2. And incidentally, I really enjoyed Dave's and Jack's studies last night. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I was going to say that. Oh, yeah. We get that all the time, and we'll get it again. But like Mike and I slightly different perspective to everything that you're going to hear. And you're not here by accident. You may think you are, but how many of you just stopped and stumbled in here this morning? Nobody. We're all here for a reason and a purpose. And God does things by reason and by purpose. And the purpose that you're here is to possibly grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, how much you do that may have a great deal on how much you allow the Spirit to work within you. But that's why we're here. We're here to grow, and we're here to learn. So, let's start at Colossians 1. I'm going to read, let's read and do some study on verses 1 through 13 to start with. And to avoid getting the cart before the horse, I've got written here, I think there's some groundwork to establish in properly absorbing the impact of our conference theme this year. We've got a little homework we got to do before we get to the part where we need to be, which is over where the theme is. Paul says this in Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Well, let's take a look at that for a second. Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And that word will there in the Greek is the Greek form thelema, or thelema. And it means desire or pleasure. And listen, either you believe this or you don't. A lot of people don't believe that the Apostle Paul was an apostle. When you get to this point in Colossians, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to believe this guy, or am I not? So if you can't get past the first verse, you're wasting your time. You may as well close the book, because maybe you did stumble in here. You're here for a purpose and a reason. And if you can't get past this first verse, the statement of the first verse is that Paul is an apostle by the will of God, then most of the rest of what I got to say is going to be a waste of your time. You'd be better off mowing the lawn or something like that. So, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will, the thelema of God. And if you want the proof of Paul's apostleship, you don't have to take Brother Curry's word for it. He will tell you how he got there. You can go and read Luke's account in Acts chapter 9 of Paul's conversion on the road. And then you can go and you can read the first couple of chapters of Galatians. And Paul will very explicitly lay out for you who he saw, what he did, who he spoke with, who he didn't speak with, what the Lord had to teach him, when the Lord taught him. He'll lay out all these things for you in Galatians chapters 1 and 2. So you don't have to take Ronnie's word for it. And that's what I hope none of you do. I hope everybody leaves here with the understanding that they can go and search these things out. And I know with the crowd I'm dealing with here, that's already a done deal. Everybody in this room, I think, is pretty avid study. Or you wouldn't have stumbled in here, right? And that's just the way it is. And that's one reason I respect this crowd. And I respect what you stand for and where your hearts are. Because you love the Word just like I do. And you're willing to look at it for yourself. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, Timothy's with him, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So he tells who it's addressed to. He tells them that he gives thanks to God for them and that he's praying for them constantly. Well, I hope everybody's praying for me constantly because I can feel it. I know you are. And I do appreciate it. He says, praying always for you. And then verse 4. Since we heard of your faith. Since we heard of your faith, since there, or since we, there in the Greek, if you want to put this verse back correctly, and incidentally, I really appreciated Mike's Greek study yesterday, too. He does this online on Pow Talk as well. And most of these are recorded and are on the say about the Greek last night. If you are going to really deep down understand this scripture, you're going to have to deal with a little Greek. Because the true understanding of these words boils up out of the Greek. If you look at it in the English, it's got a little bit of a... Ever seen a pot of molten metal? How many of you seen a pot of melted metal? There's a little slag on top in there. Kind of clouded. But boy, when you push that back, it's just as beautiful and pure underneath as it can be. And the word is a lot like that with the Greek and the English. The English a lot of times is like the slag over the top of it. It clouds and shrouds what the word really looks like. And you gotta dig. You gotta move something out of the way so you can see what's under it. Well, that's what the Greek does. And the sense we hear in verse 4 should be having. It should be the word having in the Greek. Paul says, now you know why he gives thanks and praise for them, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. These people are fellow believers. And obviously, fellow believers in the mystery, in the dispensation in which the book is written. So, that makes it a little more interesting, doesn't it? Having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love to all the saints. Well, there's faith and love. Two pretty simple principles, aren't they? But we're going to see how it weaves over in to the theme here in just a couple of minutes. Now, these verses show that the addressees here, the Colossians, have the same faith as the Ephesians. If you turn over to Ephesians 1 and look at verses 15 and 16, let's do that right quick. I think it's important. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16 basically says exactly the same thing. Paul says, wherefore I also, Ephesians 1, 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You could do a thorough study on the almost the repeats from Ephesians to Colossians, the things that Paul ratifies and how one book upholds the other. They're like knit together themselves, these two books are. It's like he's took a sewing thread and a needle and just stitched them together. And you'll see that as you go through Ephesians and Colossians, which is where our hope is centered. If you're going, the bulk of what we understand about the mystery is going to be centered in those two books. Verse 5, let's read on. For the hope, or because of the hope. You see the word for there? That's the Greek preposition dia. Dia in the accusative. And it means actually because of or for this cause. Or because of the hope. He says, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love to all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you or stored away for you in heaven. Now, but there's a logical and beautiful consummation of this hope later on in the same verse, in these verses that I'm going to read. And you'll find that consummation down in verses 12 and 13. He says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Since you knew the grace of God in truth, he says. Then he says, now, I want you to understand that this beautiful hope that we're talking about here, that he mentions in verse 6, Abraham and the nation of Israel were never promised this. Did you know that? What Paul's talking about here is not the things that are attached to Israel. We figured it out one time. I believe it's 97% of this book is their book, if you do it by verses. I did that in a study, I don't know how long ago, over at Mike's conference. If you add up all the numbers, you got to have a unit of measure somehow. And you can tell that by being an engineer, this is kind of how I have to understand things. And if you look at, I got to break it down into some kind of flow chart or a spreadsheet or something where I can get my brain around it. But if you look at the number of verses in the scripture, just divided up by verses, that are in books that belong to Israel and books that belong to us, we're about maybe 3%. And that's kind of staggering when you think about it. Because it's mostly to them. But guess what? The part that is to us is to us. Abraham was never promised what we've been promised. He never was promised that he could be part of the fullness of the Christ. He was never told that. In all the promises that God made Abraham, that wasn't one of them. And we can't claim jump into that. If it wasn't promised to you, you can't just open the scripture and yank it out and say, well, that's mine, that's what I'm going to take, and put it in your pocket. It does not work that way in God's plan. And God's word has a plan and a purpose. And the more you dig in it, the more you'll see that. And the more I dig in it, the more I realize that I am a student. I am not a teacher. I am a student, first and foremost. And I always will be. I will never feel like a teacher. And it doesn't matter how many times I stand here, how many times I'm on Pow Talk, doesn't make any difference. I never feel like a teacher. I always feel like a student. This word will put you in your place if you will let it. And your place should be a place of very low humility and learning. And trying to absorb what it is the Holy Spirit is trying to show you through this word. So, Abraham was never promised what we have. It was never given to him. It was only given to us. Verse 7 says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Oh, I see how Paul knows so much about the Colossians now. He had a guy on the inside. Old Epaphras was down there, and he's got word back to Paul about the Colossians. So Paul can listen to him, and when he pens this letter now, Paul has some insight about the folks at Colossae. He knows how they are about their faith, about their love. He knows some things about them. He's not just shooting in the dark. He knows stuff because of the knit together. Epaphras went down. Epaphras came back and reported. He reported to Paul about the situation there. So now we know a little bit more about that. Let's read on. So Paul says in verse 9, everybody follow me so far, does it make any sense? Paul says in verse 9, for this cause we also, me and Timothy, because of the same things that I've just said, Timothy and I also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, he says, and to desire, listen to this, he still wants something for the Colossians and for the faithful in Christ Jesus. And guess what? For those who haven't seen his face in the flesh. How many of you here have ever seen Paul's face in the flesh? No, we're out. We didn't get in on that little lesson. Now, I would have loved to talk to him. I probably wouldn't have been able to understand him. Because I don't speak Greek. But I would have loved to talk to him. So he said this. He desires that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of his will and to be filled in all wisdom and to be filled in all spiritual understanding. That you might love, and see, because of what they understand, now there's a logical action that goes with it. It's not just vague words that go out that you say, oh, okay, well, I see and I understand, I got it. And you just sit there. And you don't do anything. Because right along with that, and the two books, as well as other books in the and the post-Acts epistles are full of what we should do. No, we're not under the law. That's not what I'm saying. But boy, is there a walk that goes with this calling. And Ephesians and Colossians are full of things that we're supposed to do. Here's part of them right here. Let's read it. He said, if you understand all these things, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, see, anytime there's pleasing, there's also the antecedent of that, which is displeasing. You can either walk in a pleasing fashion, or you can walk in an unpleasing fashion. Now, my prayer is that I walk in a pleasing fashion, but I know most of the time that's probably not the case. Because it's very difficult to do. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy. Because I get, you know, everybody gets mad with people they work with. You get upset. Or, you know, you feel slighted. Or you know, that guy, he shouldn't say that. What business is that his? And, you know, sometimes I just want to beat the tar out of people. Don't smile. But what? Guess what? You can't do that. Not only is it against the laws of South Carolina, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how it is in Indiana, but you can get put in jail in South Carolina for beating a tar out of somebody. Did y'all know that? You can't
really.
Yes.
And if you do it in the most Christian way.
Well, I'm trying to be a little funny there so you can get the point, but I think most of you understand that. You see, not only is it against the laws of the state, that's not how God wants us handling things. Whenever we have meetings or conduct ourselves with each other, we should do it in love and humility. And with the respect that's due a fellow member of Christ's body. Because that's what you folks are. And that's how we should love and treat one another. He says that you might be all worthy of the Lord and of all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So yeah, there are things that we have to do. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, how are we going to increase in the knowledge of God? Well, we got a book in front of us. And we got a brain to understand it. And we have a brain and a mouth to pray with. And that's how you're going to grow in the knowledge of God. You're not going to sit around and go, that ain't going to get it. That'll get you the knowledge of a God. That won't get you the knowledge of the God. If you're going to get the knowledge of the God, you've got to get in this book. Because that's where it's at. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have the guts to stand up here. That's just the way I see it. So let's move on now. Running out of time. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, verse 10, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And boy, there's a lot of words. But basically, he's saying there's a power out there. And the Lord will share it with you. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. We gotta have patience one with another. You know, you go through and you look at the number of times Paul prays that they will have patience. You know, I want patience, I want it now. You know, that's the way I look at it a lot of times. But these things don't come overnight. You know, the folks in this room, if you added up the collective years that we've been looking at the mystery, it would be in the hundreds of years. Mike's 30-something. I've been looking at it for 30-something years. Lori's at least 30-something. Bob, maybe longer than that. Pete, longer than that even, maybe. I don't know. Jack. You see what I'm saying? And every guy, every one of these guys I pointed out, they'll get up here and tell you that they probably don't know very much. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know very much. I never feel like a teacher. Because it is just so vast. There's so many things here to understand that we're faced with. So let's read on verse 12. And here's the crux of where our hope is. Here's the description of our hope. So don't miss this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now let me straighten that verse out a little bit in the Greek for you. You may or may not agree with my translation, but I'm going to give it a shot. When I translate that out, it should read, which made us fit for the lot, for the share of the lot of the saints within the lot. Did everybody get that? Does it make any better sense in the Greek? Which made us fit for the share of the lot of the saints within the lot. There is a lot of saints within the lot. There's a portion for the saints that are within the lot. And I got to wager a good guess about where that lot's coming from. Because we know that Christ is light. He's the light of the world. So I'm pretty sure about where the light's coming from. Flip over to verse 13. Let's read it too. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I took the liberty of rewriting that one for you too. So what you think about this? Who rescued us from the power of the darkness and has transferred us into the reign of the Son of his love. Whoa. The reign of the Son of his love. That's our portion. That's our lot. My lot is not a piece of real estate in the Middle East between the River Nile and the River Euphrates. My lot is not a piece of real estate that's going to come down from heaven or from God out of heaven, as it says in Revelation, and rest on the earth. That's not my lot either. My lot is not going to be somewhere on the restored earth in that day. That's not my lot either. This is my lot. And I hope everybody under the hearing of my voice understands that. I think you do. This is my lot. My portion. That's what it is. That's what this word means. Now, verse 12 through 13 is the hope of the church, the body of Christ. This is the reason Paul said everything he just said. And then when you go on down 14 through the end of the chapter, he gets into the Lord Jesus Christ and gives a lot of detail about that. Now, if I had about 2 hours and I could blow Bob's schedule all to pieces, we'd get through every verse. And boy, I'd love to. But we just don't have the time. So, I'll leave that up to you. I want you guys to pick it up at verse 14 because there are some overwhelming things from verse 14 through the end of this chapter. You're going to find out that creation itself was taken from the Son of God. Creation itself. Everything that we know, and things even that we can't see and don't know, came from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how and why all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are locked up in Him. We just can't know them. We're part of the creation. We're not the Creator. Only the Creator can impart that kind of knowledge. We're standing, we got these scientists that are so smart. And they think they know everything. They take a rock and stick a gauge up against it and tell you how many billions of years old this rock is. You're right. Thank you. I don't believe it. There's nothing to stand on with that. And I don't care how many things they can cite, how they know for a surety. They know. They're guessing. They are guessing. It's His creation. Only He can impart that kind of knowledge. And hopefully there'll be a day when we can stand and ask Him whatever question it was that in this existence that we have now that we don't understand, and we can get an answer. Just like that. And my loose leaf is coming apart on me here. Figure out that thing. Like that. Okay. Now, let's get over the conference theme in about the 15 minutes that I've got left. That's it. Colossians chapter 2 through 3. I love the conference theme this year. Bob, kudos to the Holy Spirit for picking the theme of the conference. When I look at these verses, and I have to include one with it because one to me helps make it make a little sense. But in my engineering brain, I have to break it down in some kind of form that I can understand. So here's Colossians 2 through 3. Let's read them before I get into the breakdown. Can everybody see this? I know Dorothy moved up front because she said it was pretty hard to make out. I drew it as big. quick as I could and still kind of keep it on the board, but the text is still on the screen. So if you want to come up after the study and look at it or take a picture or whatever so you can remember it, that would be fine. But let's read the theme before we break it down. Paul says, for I would that ye knew. Well, we've already heard that, haven't we? I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Ooh, remember that? We talked about that, didn't we? Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What did he say? Did everybody get that? No, and I didn't either. Not until I went and broke it down. And that's the reason for the board. See, when you get these verses that have all these long, big words in them, I'm pretty much a simple guy. I got to start taking something apart. We'll get a new tool in at work. This thing on this earth, I just don't understand. It either has a motion or a function that just blows my mind. What's the first thing I do? I reach and give me a screwdriver, buddy. I'm taking her apart. And I'm going to figure out what it is that makes it do what it does. And most of the time I do. That's what I have to do with these verses. And I still don't know that I have a full understanding, but I'm better than I was when I started. I know this. So let's look at verse, let's read 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, first thing Paul says in verse 1, is for I would, or I would wish, or I would desire, I wish or desire that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. Conflict. Why is he conflicted? Paul's telling the Colossians, hey, I wish you guys knew what I've been through for you. What a conflict I have. That word conflict in the Greek, and you're going to love this, is the Greek word agon. Agon. Now, we get our English words agony and agonizing out of the same Greek root. Isn't that interesting? And it means a gathering or an assembly, especially in the sea games, just like the Greeks did for their Olympic games, any struggle or trial with the risk of peril associated with it. So Paul's having a conflict, and that means that he's in a contest where there's some peril involved? Oh, yeah. Go back and look at this guy's history. He was stoned to death a couple of times. Everything he did was done in peril. He goes in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, in perils of the sea, in perils of darkness, in perils of this, in perils of that. He went through tons of stuff. And that's what this means. He's agonizing over it. I wish you knew what great agony I have for you, he's telling them. And for them at Laodicea. And guess what? For you too. Because I haven't seen this guy face to face, have you? I know he's talking about them at that time, probably. But who's to say that the Holy Spirit didn't know that in 2013, Ronnie McCurry would be standing here reading this to a crowd that may get a little different meaning from it. I think that's entirely possible. Because the Holy Spirit knows beginning from the end, certainly. He's agonizing over it. For them that have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, that their hearts might be comforted. That's the point. That's what he wants them to do, as best I can tell from the structure of this verse, and I could be wrong. But here's how I understood it. Paul prays that their hearts might be comforted. Well, how? I'd like to be comforted, but how do you do that? That's what my brain says. Well, how are you going to comfort them, Paul? And he tells them. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." And then verse 8, again, the beware. It's like Jack was pointing out last night. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are tons of people who will line up out there to judge you folks for being in here this morning. Because it's, oh, that's not real church. What are y'all doing up there? Are y'all studying the scripture? Do y'all have a preacher? Do y'all do Sunday school? Well, if you don't do all these things, you're not a real church. How can you possibly call yourself a real church? And they will line up to judge you for that. I've been through it. How many of you have been through that? Everybody's been through that. If you, especially if you come out of an organized denominational religion. And we went to Baptist church for years. I learned about the mystery, believe it or not, in a Baptist church. That's the battle today. That's where our battle is. The battle is with those who try to judge us, who try to hold us to the Old Testament law. And many of you, I've had discussions with people that would get wrong with me for cutting my grass on Sunday. I'm serious. Worked on the assembly line with a girl one time. I told her, she said, "What did you do yesterday?" She's just making small talk. I said, "Well, I cut my grass." "You could have wiped her face off of her skull." She looked at me like I was Satan in the flesh because I cut my grass on Sunday. And I said, "Well, what tribe do you belong to?" And you could have wiped her face off of her skull again. Because they just don't know. They don't know what parts of the scripture applies to them and what parts don't. They don't know what, as Paul says, was for our learning and what's for our taking. The part of the scripture that's for our knowing and the part of the scripture that's for our doing. That's where the right division comes in. And she just didn't know this. So that's what they do. We must remember who we strive to please, and it should be no man. Don't any of you ever do anything to please me, because I'm not your Savior. It won't make any difference to me. If you're going to do something, do it for the Lord and do it heartily. Because doing it for me is worthless. Having my praise and pleasure is worthless. For any of these men in here, they'll all tell you the same thing. Do it for the Lord. Should not be any man but Christ. We must all close our eyes in death with our own faith in what we believe and not what somebody else tries to force on you. When I close my eyes in death, I want to have what I understand from the scripture and not what somebody else is trying to think that I should have. So the responsibility for your own salvation, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and open this book and get in it and understand it. That's what it's all about. That's what we have to do. That's our logical service to the Lord. So, comforted. Be comforted here. I'm running out of time. I want to draw this to a close. It's the Greek form parakaleo. And it means be of good courage. Cheer up. Take heart. So be comforted by doing it. Cheer up. How do you do it? By being knit together. What does that mean? That also is a Greek form. Sumbabazo. And I probably mispronounced it. Sumbabazo. It means to make come together, to join or unite. Whether you know it or not, we are joined or united here by a common mind. The mind of Christ. And that's what it's all about. That's why we drove hundreds of miles to get here. Some further than others, but that's the reason for it. It's to be knit together. Some of us are. So how do we be comforted? We be knit together. Well, Paul, how do we do that? How are we knit together? And how we are knit together, he goes on to tell us in verse 2. Knit together in love. Knit together unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and knit together to the acknowledgement of two things. You have to acknowledge two things. One, the mystery of God. The second one, the mystery of Christ. Now, years ago, And it was about mysteries, the mysteries in the Scripture. Did you know there are many mysteries in the Scripture? It's not just the mystery that we're part of the body of Christ. That's only one mystery. There are multiple mysteries in the Scripture. One, and I've broken down, there's the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the grafting in, the mystery of redemption, the mystery of resurrection at His coming, the mystery of His will, and the mystery of God. See it? The mystery of Christ. You see it? Let me go on. A great mystery. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of the faith. The mystery of godliness. The mystery of the seven stars. The mystery of Babylon the Great. The mystery of the woman. Did you know all those mysteries were in the Scripture? They are. And it behooves us to know each and every one. So, the two that Paul wants us to know, and where he says the Father there, incidentally, if you look at the companion Bible, for verse 2, where it says that "and" that's in there, where it says the mystery of God and of the Father, well, the text should read even Christ. So it should read the mystery of God, even of Christ. So there's, I think there's a mystery, there's only two there. And that's, again, that translation. Remember, you got to kind of push that out of the way a little bit, get the English out of the way to see the real metal down there. That's it. Mystery of God, the mystery of Christ is what Paul says we need to understand here. Well, the mystery of God, I believe, is everything that He's doing with His creation. All encompassing. That's Ronnie's opinion. You can agree or disagree. The mystery of God is all encompassing. It's general. The mystery of Christ is very specific, I believe. That's the mystery in Ephesians and Colossians, which is our hope. Paul prays that you'll be knit together. How? By loving one another, by coming unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, and we'll get into that, and then understanding these two mysteries. Now, a couple of definitions, and I'm done. The full assurance there is the Greek form Pleroporia, probably. And it means entire confidence. The whole confidence. To all the riches of full confidence. The entire confidence of understanding. That's the Greek form synesis. Which means native insight or your capacity to apprehend. So that you'll be fully confident of your capacity to apprehend this. You will be confident that you can know it and understand it. Then, to the acknowledgement. That word acknowledgement there is epignosis. And I don't have to tell most of you what that means. That means a precise or further knowledge, true knowledge, to know something as thoroughly as you can know it. When I do a power tool and I have to do the owner's manual, they come to me. Why? Because I helped design the thing. If anybody knows what's in this thing, it's this guy. So I end up having to go through these owner's manuals over and over and over again and get them right. That's what epignosis is. To know something so thoroughly that you can sit and just sketch it or draw it right out of your brain. That's what epignosis in my mind means. And that's what this to the full knowledge of these two things. And listen to me. And I'm going to close it right here. If you can come to the full knowledge of these two things from these verses that we're talking about here, that Paul's bringing out, these are the treasures. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. He's the Creator. He's the only one, as I said earlier, that can impart that to us. But those are the treasures, and guess what? If you get these, you're going to be comfortable. I find great comfort in knowing and understanding the truth that I know goes for me out of the Scripture and not having somebody else's truth. Not claim jumping Abraham's blessings or claim jumping the hope of the kingdom. It gives me utter comfort to know and understand these things. To know and understand the mysteries. The mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. And I understand it exactly perfectly, I think. At least Paul gets it across to me. I get it. I know what he's trying to say there, I think. At least in my mind, and I'm that's any great thing, you know, that makes me special or anything, but when I break it down, I just see it. I can see it in there. And praise God for it. I didn't do anything to earn it or to get it. It's a blessing. It comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can, anybody can get it. Just take a look at it. By the way, Lord, thank you so much for this time, for these people that have come this way. Father, thank you for this forum that we can stand and proclaim your word. And Father, most of all, to proclaim the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for him. Thank you for that blood that redeems us. Father, thank you for all the blessings that we've had and those that we anticipate to come. For us in Christ's name this morning that we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you much. This means the Lord.
Back at 11 o'clock, and Mike will come and speak with us at that time.